Good morning, goeiemôre. This message was birthed on an uphill, the Lord Charles uphill, a long hill. And I was listening to the word Matthew 25 and the scripture, well done, good and faithful servant. It just dropped. It was like we in this life. We want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Arriving here Wednesday evening, I was a bit late. I was at a boring AGM. My wife asked me to help her a month before for the soup evening, and I said to babes, I can't. I'm going to be at a meeting. So thank you to all of those who helped. But as I walked in here, it was like, what? The conversations, the people, a lot of people. It's like, this is church. This is church. And I'm reminded of when I walked into this church many years back at Playhouse, 30 people. 30 people, the chairs were skew. It was like, just odd. It was like this old man standing in the front, respectfully, Richard. And he was so kind. He was so nice. He even invited me to his house, and I ignored him for 3 weeks. And I said to Amrina, I think I'll go for lunch or go for dinner. And we had a barbecue. It was lovely. But just what we experienced here today, many years back, was 30 people. And since then, there was a church plant in Grabow, this young man here on the side. And then there was another church plant in Gordon's Bay. And arriving here Wednesday, there's another lot of people here. It's time for a church plant. It's time for a church plant. And I'm reminded of the words in Matthew 16, 18. I don't have the scripture on, so don't worry about this. Is where Jesus said, Peter, on this rock, I will build my house. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. He didn't say, I'm going to try. He said, I will build my house. And that's the God we serve. And I'm just amazed about the economics about our Christian walk. This God that we serve, there's no marketing campaign. There's no, how do we build a strategy together to get people in the house? They just come. And we are so fortunate this morning to have so many young families in this church. And I have to say in the same sentence, so many people walking with kiddies. It's also good to have you part of it. That's family. And I'm grateful to be part of this. Now, I want to say that we're all on different journeys. We're different ages. Some have just started their walk with Jesus. Some have been with Jesus for 60 years, 60-odd years. But the beauty is we all are running and traveling in the same direction. I think that is when I walked into the first, when I was ordained as an elder, I walked into that Edgemead building. I was like, it's all family. It just felt like there's something in common, the Holy Spirit, that we all share the same thing. We believe in Jesus. And not just believe in Him, we know what He's done for us. And because of that, it changes the way we do life. And when you walk into a room, it's like, this is my family. This is my people. But as I walked in here, I had this question in my mind. What's the most important thing or word that I can attribute the Christian walk to? I thought of, is it faithfulness? Is it obedience? Is it perseverance? Is it service? Because there's a lot of stuff happening to get the soup evening to what it was. What is it? I just looked around the gang. I was hungry. I chased first for the soup here in the corner. It was lovely soup. But I was like, there's something else. It's not those words. And I'm convinced that underneath all those words, there's a word that I've experienced Wednesday evening. And that is relationship. Relationships. And I want to remind all of us that we are not in a religion. It was never God's intention for us to be religious people. That was never His idea. His idea has always been to have a relationship with him. He's not a God, a cement God sitting there in the wall. He's a real God. He is our Father. He longs for that father-son, father-daughter relationship. Now, I love my son, even though he's naughty every now and then. I love him, and I'm sure if I ask him, if I give him the mic, Scott Jr., do you trust your dad? Do you think your dad loves you? I'm sure you'll say, what would you say, boy? Yes, yes, it was a yes. I put it in his. But I want us just to be reminded that what we are doing here is not because of us and our idea, but it started with him. This Wednesday evening experience, this today, just being here today, it's cold, man. It's lekker. Mrs. Duvet is a lot lekker there. But we're here for relationships. And I have the scripture that I want to share in John 17:3. And this is the way to have eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Can I just place emphasis on, and this is the way to have eternal life. My mind immediately goes to heaven. That's a destination, yes, but the journey is, do we know him? Our only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one he sent to earth. So, eternal life is not about heaven. It's about relationship, if I read that scripture. It's the knowing, not destination. It's know. Do you know him? And I have to then go back to my thought of what's the most important word or thing of the Christian walk. Is it obedience, faithfulness, perseverance, service, holiness? And suddenly, if I read that scripture, knowing him, I want to be obedient because I love him. It's no longer like a checkpoint, like a tick box. I have to do it. It's not I have to. I want to. I want to be obedient because I love him. I want to be holy because I belong to him. Now, I want to take this back to my son. It's like I want to set this example in the house as a husband, as a father. That he wants to be the same, that he wants to be with me and wants to sort of learn from me. Also about being faithful. It's often it's a hard word because it's a long time to be faithful. The riches of the world, the people that's the elderly in the house, it's a long time. But it's because he has been faithful. He was faithful right until the end, Jesus. Why do I want to serve? Why do I serve without even getting a thank you? I was here early, 7 in the morning, and no one thanked me for being here. It's not about giving thanks from people. It's I'm doing it for him. So the last one is, why do I persevere? This word of perseverance, all these tick boxes. I persevere because his face. I can't wait for that day to see him face to face, and he'll be like, well done. I hope he'll say thank you. It's not in scripture, but thank you. Well done. Sure. This. Baie hoog. Thank you. Thank you. So I want to remind us that the perseverance is because we're going to see his face. We're going to see him face to face. And I have, in the past, tried hard to impress people, do a bit more, just for people to see me, that I'm active. But I wanted to say to all of us this morning that it's not about trying harder. It's not It's not about you trying harder. It's about you making that conscious decision, I want to draw closer. So let's take this thing out of performance. I work harder than you. I was here earlier than you. I've prayed for more people than you. No. It's just, are we growing closer to the Father? John 15:5 reads, I am the vine. Almost like, I will build my church. It's, I am the vine, you are the branches. Let's not get confused with that. Sometimes we feel like we're the vine. I'm strong, I can survive. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then I think important, the last part, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's true. You can maybe do things on your own, but it won't last. You will grow weary, you will grow tired, and you will not know how to face the day of tomorrow. You'll have a mask on. At some point, it will collapse. I want to go to Paul's words, Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. And let us run with perseverance. The race, thank you, Lord, that you've marked it out for me. Lord, help me to walk in that road, not to go take my own road. And how? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Paul, for the encouragement. He also said to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. He didn't say, I had lots of salvations. He didn't say, I had many prophecies. He said, oh, I had big churches. He said, I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. Not because of anything, but because he knew God. He had a very close encounter with God. And I want to now bring this to my running. I did something similar a few weeks back than the soup evening. I arrived there at the Comrades and there was a lot of people. It's difficult to say the picture. It was a lot of people. And they're from all different walks of life. There is people that do it for the first time. There's people doing it for the 50th time. The oldest person was 84 years old this year. There's people that when you see them in front of you, like, how are you going to finish? Because the size is like extra large. And then you see on the back of the number, if you just want to show the next one, on your number, there is the number of near the bottom, there's medals four. So I've done four. Now, some of these big women or big tunnies, they've done eight. I'm like, eight? How have you done eight of these with the size, carrying the 100 kilograms? You can see the name on the number, and they also give your age away. So I must say, I'm a bit older than 40, but I'm happy to take the 40 at the moment. But is they sort of, they have to sell you on this day. And this is the comparison to when we have years family. I don't have to sell. You guys know me. I think you know me. I know many of you as well in this church. There they have to say, this is Skulk. He's done four. He is 40 plus. And he's done four. Now, just starting there, I'm comparing. I'm like, eight, I would love to do eight. And 55 or 60 or 70 years old, sure, I would love to do that one day when I'm there. But the beauty of that morning, when you stand there, you arrive there an hour before you start, 5:15 in the morning, and there's a lot of people with emotion. And when the song goes of the final countdown and Sojosa Loza, in the past I would sort of just look down and just cry and just go over myself because I'm shameful of crying. And then this time I'm like, I want to look around. And everyone was crying. It's like, we are crying today. Now, today as we started the worship song, the first song, yes man, I was crying. Because there you cry because it's just, it's short-lived. It's like 10 seconds, and you're like, wipe the tears, you run. But here, the cry is different. It's like, I cry because I know where I'm going. And also like, I'm so grateful for what you've done. Why have you given me just where I am today? Why? Thank you. Now, if you do comrades, it takes a lot of training. You have to get up early in the morning and people ask you stupid questions about why do you run so much? Do you run away from your troubles? My dad's saying, I'll pay some more petrol. And there is a lot of times we have to really know why you're doing it. It's not always enjoyable. It takes something where the alarm goes off and it's cold. You have to go. If you don't go, you will not finish. Because no one arriving at the Comrades Day is a guarantee to finish. They don't finish just because they arrived. It takes a commitment. And just some of the statistics, there's 22,000 runners that enter for the Comrades, 20,000 arrive on the day, sort of 18,000 finish, and before 2003, another third of the field won't finish. They've changed, they've given us another hour to finish in 12 hours. The last hour, 6,000 people crossed the finishing line. Just to give you an idea of the day. I must say, running the day is an amazing experience. The camaraderie, the encouragement, people know your name. And it's every second one, hey Skulk. I'm like, thank you. But they lie to you, say, you're almost there and there's 80Ks to go. No, I'm not almost there, it's 80Ks to go. When you get to 60Ks and there's 20Ks to go, you know how far 20Ks are. It's amazing. But when you get to the finishing line, you get this small medal. I think, do I have the medal here? We'll do the medal later. It's not worth it. It's slightly bigger than a 5 rand coin. And when you get to the finish line, they say, please move. There's more coming. I'm like, okay, so after that's now move, take a quick picture and you move. But I've worked for this. I've ran 85 kilometers. No, please move. So that well done when you get to the end is very short-lived. And then soon you'll enter another race and you'll get another well done. You'll get the medal. And it's just like that moment of 10 seconds. But I must say, when my son, my kids phone me, well done, Dad. Yes, man, that was like something. I couldn't talk. Seeing my wife arriving, and it's a mission to find anyone there. It's just so many people. Seeing her face saying to me, well done, baby. I'm like, oh, man, that's beautiful. And it comes from people that loves you. It's special. Now, immediately, I want to remember that these events and stuff we're busy with in life, it could become selfish if we live for that next well done. If we live for the next event, I'm going to go on holiday to Mauritius, or I'm going to wear one. It's an event that brings something, but it's short-lived. It almost can be sometimes something where it becomes selfish. That's the big warning of these worldly things, but great experiences. But you're on the other side, on the Christian side. I want to show you the elevation quickly, the slide where the green, the elevation. So you start in Durban. This year was to Pietermaritzburg. That's the sort of the elevation of the route. And it looks like a very long uphill initially. It is. And then it looks like sort of a downhill at the end. It's a complete lie. It's just hills. And where you think the last third of the graph, there's two little polys and big polys. There's monster climbs. But compared to what you've done, it's easy. It's not easy. When you're at 60Ks, nothing is easy. It's actually uncomfortable and stupid. And you say, why have I done this? Why am I doing this? You phone your daughter, they don't answer the phone. They've abandoned you. You phone your son, they don't answer the phone. They've abandoned you. You phone your wife, hey, well done, baby. Okay, I can do it. I'll get through it. But our Christian walk is exactly the same. You give your heart to the Lord, it's like hope. Oh, I've messed up. He's forgiven me. But it's not easy after that. The work only starts. Sorry for those of you just giving your heart to the Lord. It's only helping you with what's real. I'm not going to lie to you today. It's real that there's valleys and there's hills. In James it reads, it's not if you'll have trials in this life. It's when you'll have trials. Trust me, be with me, and I'll build your character. You'll be a better person later. You'll become more like me. So our Christian walk sometimes also like this graph. You feel like, I just need to reach out to someone. I'm tired. Why am I praying? Why am I doing this? This morning when we met as elders to pray, I said to Richard, I drove here this morning and I asked myself the question, why did I say yes to preach today? I said to my daughter, why am I doing this? I know why I'm doing this because I'm doing it for my Father. I'm trying to be a vessel today and just share His word, and I hope that that word will have make impact in your life. Maybe inject something to say, run harder for Him, not for me, not for Richard, not for Brian, for Him. So I want to say this, as with comrades, no one finishes accidentally. In a Christian walk, no one here will finish just accidentally. It will take commitment. It will take a serious decision for you to say, I need this. But we've just read in Scripture, without me, you cannot do it. So I want us to just do, my topic for today is running towards the Father's voice. Because if we think of that day when you meet with Him, in everything you go through in life, if you just have that picture in your mind, it might just change the way you do things, what you decide you're going to do, and maybe what you say. So I want us to look at Paul's words in Ephesians 2 verse 9. And just take you back to your salvation. That reads, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So I can't work myself into the heaven. I can't. He's saying, because no one must be boasting about this, because I can say that more than Richard, so I should deserve the higher spot. No. He's saying, salvation is not a reward for the things we've done, so no one can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Now here is the power. So we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. It becomes from I have to do works to I want to do good works. And I think that's a big shift in one's mind, where, and also in life, where do not think you can work yourself into heaven. And as we get more involved with church, more responsibilities, let's help each other not to become so busy with the works and not having that relationship with the Father. Because we will fail if we do that. Matthew 25:14, as I shared earlier, we want to be busy with good works for only one reason, because we don't deserve, and we cannot repay Him ever for what He's given us. He's given us His Son. And Jesus, in His parable in Matthew 24, it starts with, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. Gave the servants instructions, and Willem last week was elaborating on it. And He wants us to do things, not because we have to, because we want to. Let us never have that, our salvation day, let that never become just that day. Something happened that day, must almost be a refresher daily. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? There's a song that that reads or that goes, I can't sing, so I'm not going to try to sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's turn our eyes onto Jesus always. What made Comrade special was what Chrisanda shared this morning, was the encouragement. If it's not your name on your card and not knowing how many races you've done, I don't think I'll have as the encouragement that I've had on the day, because I encourage a lot of people because I see it's their 9th one, they're going for 10. I see it's their first one. I said, good luck, buddy, go for it. Let's do a few miles together. But that does bring something to the day. The encouragement is amazing. If I take it back to our Christian walk, Wednesday evenings, today, community, the conference, how many times can you create the environment where you can build relationships, where you can encourage one another to continue with good works? And we're not doing it to impress each other. We don't do it to compare. It's an ugly thing, comparison. It goes to performance, and we should just kill that thing. It doesn't belong here. We do it because we serve. And I don't know what you're going through, JP, at the moment. You don't know what I go through at the moment. So let them be judging you if you didn't arrive here 7 in the morning to set up. We sometimes do that. Where's everyone? Let's not do that. Let's just be reminded and help each other to say, we all work towards that day of well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. He wants to say that to all of us. So I've showed the medal. And I want to say that medal is not worth it. It's not worth it. It's small. It's not even beautiful. It's pretty. It's not even pretty. It's ugly color. It's an orange color. But I must say, when you get the medal, there's tears in your eyes. It's like, okay, thank you that I cannot just walk for a little while or just do nothing for a little while. But that tears, it's a different tear. I imagine the day when we arrive in heaven, it's going to be tears of joy. It's like, oh, I'm here. It was worth it. I'm now with you forever. But I don't have to wait for then. He's given us the Holy Spirit today, and we can know that he's always with us. His scripture tells us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm your rock. I'm behind you. I want to quickly go to those four words, well done. When you hear the words, well done, every sacrifice, every disappointment, every prayer that no one has heard you pray, every thing you've done without receiving the thank you, on that day, it'll be like, but I'm helping myself here is, I can just have peace today as well that if I continue with this because I see his face, I'm already getting the well done. He's already saying, well done. Thank you for helping. Thank you for being part of my family. So well done, my good. And this goes to our good deeds. In Matthew 5:16, we read, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Why? So that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Not say, thank you, Skulk. Well done, Skulk. But will praise your Heavenly Father because you are not doing it for Brian. I'm doing it for him. Brian didn't say thank you. I'm not doing it for Brian. I'm doing it for him. It helps us to continue to walk because life will disappoint you. People will disappoint you. So well done, good. And then my good and faithful. I want to read a few scriptures on faithfulness. In Revelation 2, verse 10, we have to remember, faithfulness is not spectacular. It takes a long time. Let George. Yes. In Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. 1 Corinthians 15:58 reads, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So the Christian life is not one in one great moment. It's a long journey. It's a race. And this is important for us to be able to finish that race. The last word in that sentence, well done, my good and faithful servant. If I just look at the life of Jesus, he could have arrived here as a king, most important person on planet Earth. But he came, and in John 13 we read and says, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Now, if we read this verse again, we'll see that greatness in the kingdom of God is not measured in titles and accolades, but in towels, washing feet, doing the thing that no one notices. And this is a reminder of us of why we're serving. We serve because He served. He showed us the way. So I want to show another visual of, there we go. This is a graph that shows, according to my watch, that on 8.5 hours, I had no more potential in my tank. And luckily, I didn't see it while I was running. But there was no more potential. There was no more stamina according to the technology that we have. And I only finished in 10.5 hours. I would not have been able to finish if it was not for the people around me. I walked probably 1.5 hours the whole race. When I walked, I took out my phone, and it was amazing to get messages, people encouraging me. If I read that, I cry because I don't know what I'm going through, but thank you. And I don't want to disappoint you. I will finish. And you put your phone back. Only 3 messages. Sure, it's only 3 now, so I guess I'll back in. Let's go. You phone your dad, you phone your mom, you phone your... And they don't answer, like, are they not following me? Are they not interested in me? And do you see how it becomes self? In this world, in this family, it's a bit different. I want to say that for some of us on the Christian walk, your tank might be empty. You might feel lonely. You might feel like you're serving, but there's no recognition given to you. And I know that you will not finish if you don't have people around you. We also heard today about Rosanna shared accountable, having a life, an open life. If you don't tell me you're going through a hard time, I won't know you're going through a hard time. If you don't tell me you struggle with an addiction, I can't help you to work through the addiction. If you're more in love with the fear of falling in shame instead of help me to get through it, I can't help you. So I didn't know my stamina was empty, but I managed to carry on because there was people around me. And church, they people, family, God's idea of family is us helping each other that last yard. So I'm going to close today. And something that I've always had very close in my heart is the elderly. And I always joke about the kiddies and just the things. It's just the fact that you're older. I'm also I've turned gray lately, and it's like, okay, I'm also aging. But I want to talk to the elderly. If you have children, maybe have grandchildren, the hardest part of the comrades is the last 20 kilometers. And eternal life, heaven, there's no 12-hour cutoff. Whether you do it in 6 hours or 12 hours, there's eternal life. There's heaven, there's a promise. And I want to encourage all the elderly today. You might not be able to do what you used to do. But your season is not an end. You're still busy with well done, good and faithful servant. You still have purpose in this family. You might not be traveling as you did in the past. You might not sit in big meetings and govern a meeting and make big decisions. But maybe your role has changed to encourage. Maybe your role has changed to pray. To pray more. Maybe your role has changed to help your grandchildren. Just to love them. I want you to, just to remind you that you have not arrived at the heaven's door where it's well done, good and faithful servant. There's still a lot left for you. And I want to pray for the elderly today. And I want the younger people to come around them. And I want us to pray for them. And that's how I want to close the service today. I want to encourage you to not stop this race, but to finish well. So, I've got one scripture that reads, Psalm 92 verse 14 reads, "You will even in your old age produce fruit. And you will remain vital and green." It doesn't say not used to produce fruit. It's to say you will still produce fruit. So I speak fruit over your life. And I speak life into those areas where you thought that you have no purpose. So could we just come around the elderly in the house and pray for them? Can we do that? So it's difficult now. Who's old and who's young? But in this, guys, I'm transitioning to elderly, but if your tank is empty and you're 20 years old because you're raising children, your tank is usually empty when you raise children. If your tank is empty, qualify yourself as elderly. Because we've read today, you cannot do this on your own. Can I remind us as I close that we're not working and living this life for the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's not the words. It's the person who's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."